This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
And when you got Campbell on there, he hit Zay Day, your confidence is through the roof. We talked about it all last week. And if I would have told you, Tommy, that Arkansas was going to hold Florida State to only one run, you probably would have said, all right, well, I guess Arkansas is moving on and going to be facing off against Michigan on Monday night. I mean, it's just one of those games. But I was talking with Phil Elson last night, and one of the things that he just brought up, because I was like, man, how frustrating was that? He says, that's baseball. It can be a cruel mistress to you, but that's just a game of baseball, and it's frustrating, too, because you just got to tip your hat to Florida State, and you got to tip your hat to Parrish and the great game that he pitched. It was just a great performance by then. But also on the other side of it, Arkansas unable to take advantage of some of the opportunities. 0 for 7 and runners in scoring position. You had a couple of lucky snags there by Florida State. It just seemed like not only could you not score, but a lot of the breaks were going Florida State's way as well.
Now, the score was nowhere near it, but it kind of reminds me of that game two with Ole Miss, where Arkansas, every ball that was down the line went foul. Yep. Or went against, you know, whether you're in the field, it went fair. You know, for that, every little small break kind of went against Arkansas. The atom balls, as we talked about, the defensive plays, all kind of just didn't favor Arkansas as far as the bounce of the ball. That's just sports. Then Arkansas bounces back in game three of the Super Regional, and everything kind of went their way. You wonder if today is going to be a day where kind of things go Arkansas's way. Now, it's totally going to be up to starting pitching again today. It seems like we've spent 2 weeks talking about starting pitching, but you know, now you've got an uphill battle where you're not going to have your stud ace and Isaiah Campbell available to save you for a while, because you know, I don't know when he would possibly return. It might be as late as game one of a championship round if you can survive that long. So maybe Friday if you get there, but then you got to plan that out of, well, you don't want to go pitch three games of the championship round without him either. So, I mean, you've got to win today for any of that to matter. But my point is, you're going to have to do it without Isaiah Campbell.
Yeah, and I was just looking at the rest of the bracket and how it would play out if Arkansas wanted to make it back to the College World Series Finals. You'd have to win today, and then you'd have to win Wednesday, and then you'd have to win Friday, and possibly have to win again Saturday, depending on if that team went that you would end up facing, whether it's Michigan or Florida State, wins today, and they'd have to face the double elimination too. So you're talking about the difference of losing on Saturday. It made from going from, okay, you only have two more games and boom, you could be in the championship, to possibly having to play four more games to actually be in the championship. I mean, it is a completely different animal.
Yeah, you got to win four in a row. I mean, to stay alive, Arkansas cannot lose a game again until you get into the championship round. To get there, you got to win four straight games because, as you said, you're facing either Arkansas or Texas. Texas going home today. Mm-hmm. Then if Arkansas survives that, they'll play the winner. They play the loser of Michigan and Florida State, who play tonight.
That's right.
And then if you win that game, you got to turn around and play whoever wins tonight's game, Michigan or Florida State, on Friday. And if you beat them, you got to turn around and beat them twice. So, that, you know, we were talking about being in the catbird seat by winning your first two games. One of these two teams tonight, Michigan or Florida State, is going to be in that position where they're off till Friday. And then whoever's remaining of the other teams has to beat them twice to keep them from playing for a championship. It's just, it was a crucial loss on Saturday night for Arkansas.
I know, and I think that's the more frustrating part about it, too, is you just know the type of benefit you'd have if you would have won that game one, because then you'd be playing the night game tonight, and I mean, obviously you'd have to win again today to really have, as you say, the catbird seat, but I'm wondering if maybe the feeling of confidence or the lack thereof in going forward and winning four straight is because also the most recent performances we saw from guys like Connor Nolan and Patrick Wicklander weren't exactly the most confidence-boosting performances of all time. And it just kind of makes you wonder, man, you know, first off, how is Connor Nolan going to handle the starting pitching where it's like you're facing elimination today? Last time he pitched, he had the game ahead of him because Arkansas was 1-0 in the Super Regional. not to say that there wasn't pressure in that game, but now you're talking about, okay, well, go ahead, kid, true freshman. You got to go out. You got to perform well. You got to be able to get Arkansas out of this situation to where it's in the College World Series and they're facing elimination. How are you going to handle it? I think that also plays into a factor of why maybe Razorback fans aren't as confident as they were sitting here at 0-1. But then again, I don't think anybody can be really confident in the College World Series when you're sitting at 0-1.
Yeah, and we kind of go through the games and the scenario and where the confidence of this team is. Really, win or lose Saturday didn't matter. It's win or lose today that matters to a degree. Other than you can't win two in a row. I mean, you're still going to play Saturday. So what I'm saying is not 100% correct, but the loss Saturday means you obviously can't lose today, but it just doesn't give you the chance to start out 2-0. Put you in the same boat as the loser today if you'd won Saturday. But the key is you got to win your first two, and it's just an uphill fight with a bunch of freshmen going to be pitching the ball for you.
So I mean, what would you say your confidence level is?
My confidence level
for them to win four in a row. How confident are you?
Low. I mean, very low. I mean, I think Arkansas's had a great season. They've overachieved, but the idea of redemption, the idea of a national championship seems very far-fetched to me right now. So, I mean, if you put it on a scale of 1 to 10, or, you know, I'd say I'm about a 2 right now. I mean, you just have to face the reality of what's ahead of you, and that's winning four straight between now and Saturday, and likely, I mean, where would Isaiah Campbell even fit into that? I mean, Arkansas has three starters. Where would be the fourth? Because you need... You know, we're going to get and got into the pitching story, but Connor Nolan today, then you'd assume Wicklander Wednesday. Who would go Friday?
I think it'd have to be Campbell. Have to be.
Okay. I think that's probably the way you go, because he'd pitch Saturday. They'd give him almost a full week's rest. You'd have to go Campbell Saturday. You can't hold him thinking, well, if we get to the championship round, but then if you win Friday, you're just kind of playing this out. These are the things Dave Van Horn and Hobbs and his staff are going. Right. You win Friday, and then Connor Nolan assumes that role on Saturday. Here, and then you're in a pickle. If you win the four straight, then you're in a real bind getting into the championship round. I mean, you just play all of this out, but all you can do is win the game in front of you, because none of it matters if you don't win the next game. All you'll do is sit home and watch the teams that are left.
Then you pray that the Omaha rain that helped Oregon State last year helps you.
Yeah,
that's the only thing at that point you can just pray to God.
That's a great point. I mean, you just start thinking, but what you can't do is say, well, we're going to hold Campbell in case we make it. Well, then what if you don't? You didn't pitch the guy that won. Was it now 12-1? Or is it 13 now?
Well, no, 12-2.
Thank you. So you can't go about it that way. But I'm just saying, you've pitched yourself into a corner. You've played yourself into a corner here. That even if you have the success rolling forward, it's going to eventually catch up to you without some kind of assistance from above, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking, too, when you brought up the rain. I was like, man, I don't think I've ever wanted it to rain if they get to that point more when it comes to baseball than I would for then. Because that's, like you said, it would be a great setup and be able to help them out. But obviously we're forecasting it and trying to look ahead, because they do got to win today to even have that conversation. Yeah. But it is possible. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for them to win today.
No. I expect them to win today. Yeah. I expect Arkansas to be around till Friday. I think what we're laying out here is the reality of how difficult it's going to be to get to the championship round.
That's right.
Because you're going to run out of pitching. That's the thing about that's just baseball. You know, the New England Patriots don't get in a playoff situation where, because of required rest, needed rest, Tom Brady can't go. You know, we're going to use our third quarterback. Yeah. We're on quarterback rotation. That's just the nature of this sport. And, you know, sometimes the biggest games are played without your best pitcher. And that, I think Arkansas is going to end up in that way, in that shape, no matter what happens.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Want to remind everybody, though, that today, since the Hogs are playing at 1 p.m., there's going to be a watch party over at Joe's Grill and Cantina there in Fort Smith. And Tommy, is there a rumor that you're going to be there?
I will be. In fact, you're going to be on We kind of got a little bit of a change with our broadcast lineup today. So I guess
yes.
I'm going to be at Joe's. You're going to be in Omaha at DJ's right. dugout before the game. And, yeah, we'll be getting everybody ready. Halftime is going to start for those in the River Valley, Harrison, and Hot Springs. You can listen to that program on many of our network stations here on the Morning Rush beginning at 10. So we're only going to really leave you for about an hour from about 9 to 10, and then we're going to be back with full coverage. Phil and Ty will get you ready for the game today starting at 10, and John and I will rejoin you somewhere in the 11 o'clock hour to get you ready right up to 12:30, then Phil and the IMG broadcast at 12:30. So, yeah, we got a full day, and like I said, the watch party, I'm going to be live over at Joe's beginning around 11, and half-price apps and taps during the game today. So if you're looking for a place to have lunch, maybe have a later lunch today, and you can catch some of the ball game today with us at Joe's.
Yeah, it's funny because, Tommy, maybe this is selfish of me, but Arkansas losing on Saturday, I had it all planned out. We had this whole thing all ready to roll, and I'm like, all right, when they win on Saturday, mm-hmm. they were going to have this set up, and you're going to have halftime that's going to be full length, and then you're going to have our pregame show, and you're going to have the watch party at Joe's. It was going to be perfect. And then when they lose, I just crumbled up the piece of paper and I threw it away. It didn't even matter. Just ripped it all up.
So we'll have all of that before the game broadcast, and then after the game, Ruskin and Zach will be on to wrap things up till 7 o'clock tonight. So we've got basically from now, with the exception of 1 hour, I guess we should have covered that hour. From now till 7 o'clock tonight, we've got Arkansas baseball coverage for you right here.
Wall-to-wall baseball coverage, and hopefully we have a few more days of Razorback baseball coverage, assuming that they win today. In fact, that's kind of what I wanted to dive into here, Tommy, is Arkansas loses 1-0 against Florida State on Saturday. It's in the past. Team has to move on today. They know that they're facing against Texas Tech, but Connor Nolan's getting the nod. And the last time we saw Connor Nolan pitch as a starter was against Ole Miss in that game two, where he struggled mightily. He was pulled fairly early, and it wasn't just him. I'm not trying to throw that he was the reason they lost, because they just got obliterated even in their bullpen, but it was not the best showing for Connor Nolan. And he's a true freshman, and we've known that there's been times he showed out really well, and there's been times that he struggled. But the last time we saw him, too, was in a game two in mm-hmm. the Super Regional at home, where Arkansas already was up 1-0 in the series. And the pressure was still there. I'm not trying to take anything away from it, but it was nowhere near what it's going to be today, because now you're not at home. You're in TD Ameritrade in Omaha. Now you don't have a 1-0 lead in the series. You're facing elimination. Now you're in this biggest stage that you've ever been in as an athlete, period. Let's just be honest. So now it's going to be about, all right, he didn't perform well last week. Can he bounce back in an even bigger and more important and pressurized moment today against Texas Tech?
You know, and I think this decision makes sense. It keeps kind of the same rotation and the same, you know, the same way Arkansas went about their business in the postseason, at least from the Super Regional. And you look at the way Nolan pitched versus Wicklander, because that's really the choice, Nolan or Wicklander, right? Well, Wicklander was out there, like the first three pitches went in the dirt, then he hit a couple batters. His location wasn't great, to say that, putting it nicely. And you look at how Connor Nolan pitched; he was leaving it high and out over the plate, which is a problem because it was getting hit pretty good there by Ole Miss. But at least he wasn't hitting batters, and I mean the location wasn't in the dirt. So I don't know how you go about this, how you separate these guys if you're Matt Hobbs and you're Dave Van Horn. But at least the problems that Connor Nolan had wasn't giving free bases by hitting guys and throwing it in the dirt, and some things that, you know, were just real problems for Wicklander to start the game against Ole Miss.
Yeah, and I like the move, and I think the going with Connor Nolan is the right move. It's just a matter of, you know, how does he handle it? How does he bounce back? Because we knew Isaiah Campbell, he had been here before, and that's what we talked about last week, and I know we talked about it, me and Ty did, in the pregame show on Saturday, that even though you've had a few players that have been added to the roster, guys like Trevor Ezell, guys that didn't play a whole lot last year, you still had so many players with experience, and Isaiah Campbell was one of those players. You had Matt Cronin, who had that experience. You had pitchers that's even had that experience, but now it comes to the factor that Connor Nolan has never been in a situation like this, never have been in a bigger stage than this. And with all the pressure on him, I don't know. I would assume that he would handle it, or that it would be handled differently if it was game two and you were already up 1-0 in the College World Series and maybe the pressure was a little off. But it's just going to be that's what I'm going to be more curious about than anything. Obviously, you want them to win. You want them to perform well. But I'm honestly curious, Tommy, about how Connor Noland is going to handle it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Let's go to the phones, 877-377-6963. Robert is in Fort Smith. Robert, good morning.
Hey, guys. No Connor stuff, really. I mean, yeah, I'm worried about it. But right now, Martin, it's just infuriating that he is still in a slump like that. He just, you know, you had two men on base, and I wish he was at the bottom of the lineup. I hate to be that way. But right now, he's just not seeing the ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, you know, Casey Martin, at some point, you keep thinking, when's he going to hit his way out of this? When's he going to hit his way out of this? I tell you what worries me as much as anything is, and I know that it was a hustle play the other night, but his fielding hadn't been great either. You know, there's just some times, you know, that play, he was just trying to hustle, hit the guy, and the ball popped loose. That was a huge problem there in the ninth as well. So I get what you're saying, Robert, but all of that's an issue right now for him.
It's Robert.
Yeah.
It's no longer on there anymore. But, yeah, it's because that's where I'm at, too, where, like, because Robert, I think that, you know, he's been calling about Connor Noland, and he's not the only one either. I've had people that I've discussed with on social media about Connor Noland. And, but it's like I put faith in Dave Van Horn because the guy knows baseball. He knows more than I do. He knows his team better than I do. The guy's an elite coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. So it's not like there's a better option there, and Dave Van Horn's refusing to play him. I mean, it's like you got to trust with the cards that he has and the cards that he's been dealt. You got to trust him to make the right decision.
I mean, I just don't know why you would go a lot different. To me, the hard thing is separating, unless you're going righty versus lefty, because that's the big difference, obviously, mm-hmm. between Wicklander and Noland. Unless it's a righty-lefty thing based on the based on the number of right or left-handed batters you have for the opponent, I think it's hard to separate these two. So you stay kind of on the normal routine you've been doing here. To me, one doesn't stand out over the other with Connor Noland and Patrick Wicklander. So,
yeah, and you know, I'm hoping, of course, I mean, we're hoping that Arkansas gets the victory today, and we could see Wicklander and how he handles it on Wednesday, assuming that he would get the start. But I mean, it's just. With Connor Noland, and I think he bounces back today. I really do. I think that after last week's performance and how it wasn't on par for what his rest of the performances were, I think he bounces back. And I think that Dave Van Horn knows how to get the guys like that hit that point where they're really down. I think he knows how to get them mentally ready for it. Yeah. And so I think that's going to go a long way, too. It's just a matter of how Dave Van Horn, how does he talk to him? How does he get him ready? Does he stay away a little bit and let him figure it out? I don't know. But I do know that Dave Van Horn has had guys who have probably gone through these slumps, too, and has this pressure on him. So he's gonna do the right things in the right way. And, Tommy, I don't think he's going to last. What you're hoping, to get three, four good innings out of him? It's not like he has to go nine innings.
Yeah, that was where my next question was. Okay, so whether it's four innings, five innings, six innings, one inning that you get out of your starter today in Connor Noland, who's next? Because, you know, we saw Scroggins come in and I thought really struggle, gave up a run the other night and just an inning's work. I thought Scroggins was not the same Scroggins you saw against Ole Miss that really gave you a lengthy relief performance. And in fact, only faced five batters in his time there. In game one of the College World Series. So my question is, where do you go now once you run through your starting pitching today, whether, like I said, that's first inning or the fifth inning or the seventh inning, who do you give the ball to next? I think that's an interesting decision today as well.
Yeah, I would assume it's going to be Copps.
Or Costyshock.
Yeah, and then maybe Costyshock after that. I mean,
I guess it would depend on the length you're going to ask that next guy to pitch. If it's the second or third inning, certainly a different situation than handing the ball over like you did to Scroggins in the eighth the other night after seven full from your starter. So, and Isaiah Campbell. So, to me, that's an interesting decision. This isn't going to be a complete game by Connor Noland in all likelihood. So, who gets the ball next? That to me, is just as interesting as how does Connor Noland do today and how do you manage that?
Yeah, and Dave Van Horn, I'm sure, and Matt Hobbs have it all planned out and all scoped out for how it's going to go today. But if Connor Noland just get off to a solid start, you know, have a much better start than what they did against Ole Miss, they'll be in fine shape. And You know, that's all you can ask for out of the true freshman and Connor Nolan. We're going to take commercial break and continue, of course, to discuss Arkansas in the College World Series and take your phone calls 877-377-6963. Broadcasting live here from Leavenworth Restaurant here in Omaha, 2419 Leavenworth Street, just a few miles away from TD Ameritrade Park. They got the breakfast getting all set up. People are starting to roll in, so be sure to come on by and get you some great breakfast to start the day and hopefully start with a victory with Arkansas beating Texas Tech today. That'd be the best thing that you could ask for today, that is for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Obviously, we've been talking about Arkansas and their loss to Florida State 1-0 on Saturday. They play again today at Texas Tech. But I want to kind of get into the other games, too, Tommy. It's been a pretty fascinating College World Series, at least through the first round of games. Michigan somehow keeps winning. Don't really know how or why, or maybe they're just a team of destiny. But they're moving on, even though Florida State was the one that beat Arkansas. There's still the storyline of Mike Martin. Hey, by the way, Tommy, did you know that Mike Martin is in his final season at Florida State? And did you know that he's been there for 40 years and that he's never had a season less than 40 wins?
I thought I heard someone mention it in passing. I didn't really hear the whole conversation.
Yeah, I mean, just watching the television broadcast, it seems like that's all that was talked about. But Florida State's moving on, too, and they'll be facing off against Michigan today. And then on the other side, of course, it has the more of the SEC teams. Auburn losing in a most brutal way to Mississippi State late last night. That was just not something you ever want to see to any team. And it was just funny because when that happened, Tommy, I don't know if you got the same thing, but I got a lot of people tweeting at me saying that's the most Arkansas way to lose a game, the way that Auburn lost that game last night.
And, and Mississippi State seems to me to be that team that maybe has destiny a little bit on their side to at least get to and play for a national championship here. It's just going to make me sick if they're the ones hoisting the trophy at the end of this thing and not Arkansas. I mean, it just, you know, you can understand Vanderbilt. You can understand, you know, Louisville's been knocking on the door for a while here lately. You can understand some of these other teams. Even Florida State might be a team of destiny with Mike Martin's story, even though they're probably not as talented as some of these other teams. But you're alive in Omaha. I really don't want to see Mississippi State win this thing.
Well, boys, you think about the Arkansas teams that have been eventual national championships. Go back to 06 Florida in basketball, 07 LSU in football, and then the possibility of this happening this year, if that were to happen. The fact that Arkansas swept Mississippi State. Now, there's a lot of baseball to be played, but it's just weird sometimes how Arkansas can beat these teams in the regular season, and then they go on to win the national championship.
Well, and it's funny, too, because between Mississippi State and Vanderbilt, I think that those are kind of the two favorites, even overall, because, Tommy, the reasons you mentioned Mississippi State, but Vanderbilt, once UCLA went down, they became, them and Arkansas, actually, if you can look at Vegas, they became the favorites to win it all. And I guess if it's me, I understand what you're saying about Mississippi State, but I'm still thinking that Vanderbilt is the team to beat in this College World Series. I still feel like they have a great pitching staff, that they obviously have a lot of talented players, are a good historical program. And I guess we'll find out more tomorrow between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State and who ends up winning that one. So
makes you feel like that Arkansas bet was a sucker bet at this point, you know?
Yeah, I know. And isn't it funny how that it just, in one game, everything changes.
Oh, I know it.
It goes from where we were going into the College World Series, and we all felt on this show that it was like, all right, well, Arkansas is not going to go 0-2 in barbecue. You got Isaiah Campbell starting game one. They'll win game one. Florida State, they're just kind of getting in there. They're not a great team, but they got hot at the right time. Arkansas will win at least one. And then once you lose that first game, man, it's like, wait a minute. You're telling me that this team has to win four in a row in a week to be able to even compete for the finals now? Yeah. It just changes everything, and it's so unfortunate, but I mean, that's the setup, and that's the way it is. And I don't think Dave Van Horn or anybody on the team's running from it. But man, it just shows you how crucial it is to win that game one in the College World Series, man.
Now, and again, winning your first two games really puts you in a position to, you know, the winner of the game tonight's off till Friday, and someone's got to beat them twice. So Arkansas is going to be fighting to be in a position to have to beat someone twice. As we said, the schedule lays out like this: you got to win today, or the season's over. And then if you're successful today for the Razorbacks, you play again Wednesday at 5:30. And if you win that one, You play the winner of tonight's game, who will have a lot of rest, and you don't play them till Friday. And then if you beat them Friday, you got to turn around and beat them again Saturday. So, I mean, you got to win Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday in order to advance to the national championship round. That's five games in 1 week. You got to play. That's five games from Saturday to Saturday, and you're going to have to go 4-1 in that stretch. And you can't. You've already lost your one. So that's a big ask for any team.
Yeah, well, and it's like, I know that people will say, well, you know, hey, Razorback baseball. Baseball teams do that all the time because you have the SEC weekend series and then you've got a midweek series game, and it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, the only difference is that you're playing.
Season's not on the line,
You're not on. Season's not on the line, and you're also not playing teams like Canisius or whoever it is in the midweek series. Like, you're in the College World Series. You're going up against that top eight teams, or at least where they've gotten to this point, eight of the best teams in the country. And so there's no time off. You can't just throw out a freshman pitcher who's never been out there before. It's like, let's see what he can do. You can't do that in this situation. So, yeah, they've done it. They've played a lot of games in a short span. But it's a little different once you get to the College World Series because everybody's going to be coming for you. And even like today, too, Tommy, Arkansas is facing elimination. You know who else is? Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Texas Tech is also facing elimination. So you can go ahead and guarantee that they're going to have same mentality and wanting the same thing going on, too.
That means one of the national seeds is going home.
Yeah.
Somebody by dinner time tonight, that's a national seed's out of there. And that's, you know.
Scary thought.
The team's playing tonight in the winner's bracket of this thing, the winner's side of the bracket, are the teams that weren't national seeds. In fact, two teams that were the last, amongst the last teams to get into the field. That's baseball right there. Mm-hmm. This does kind of happen from time to time in college basketball, but generally not to the Final Four. And that's what we're really equating the College World Series to. You could see two teams in the Sweet 16 face off that weren't supposed to be there, that were, you know, 8 and 9 seeds or whatever, 10 seeds, you know, double-digit seed-type teams. But we're talking about two of the last four in the field. Like, two teams that went to Dayton in basketball, mm-hmm. to put it in that terms, are now playing for the right to be off till Friday and be a win away from the College World Series and the national championship round.
Yeah.
That's just incredible.
Yeah. And it's really eerie to think about it that way, but that's the situation you find yourselves in, and you're one of those teams that is facing elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to try to put too much, you know, craziness or emphasis on it, Tommy, because, you know, we said, hey, this team wasn't expected to be back in the College World Series, but they're back in the College World Series. As long as they get back, I mean, that's going to be a successful season. They were a national seed. But it kind of has a feeling, too, and I don't know if you feel the same way, that, yeah, they got to the College World Series, and it'll be a great season, but going 0-2 ain't going to make me feel very good. This isn't like in 2015 where they had a great play out of Andrew Benintendi and that team just got hot. And they honestly didn't have really a great reason to be in the College World Series, but they made it. They went 0-2. It's like, hey, the fact that they made it there was great. That's not how you feel about this team. It's like, if you go 0-2, it's kind of a big whimper, and it goes out with a whimper, and you don't want that.
No, that's exactly. It'd be very disappointing, very deflating, because I think that's a great comparison. 2015, I remember they lost to Miami and I can't remember the other team, but it was a surprise to even be there.
Yeah.
Benintendi kind of carried your team through the postseason.
And they lose to Virginia.
Virginia? That sounds right.
You know? Yeah.
But I remember it was a short stay. I was there for the first wave of games that year in Omaha, and it was a short stay because Arkansas really was the surprise team and just happy to be there. Arkansas is not a program. It's just happy to be there this year in Omaha. They've got expectations to do great things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest about it, Tommy. This is a team that won the SEC West, the most difficult and toughest division in all of college baseball. You were the best team in it. I know technically you tied with Mississippi State, but to me, if you hold the tiebreaker, you're the one that should win it.
Well, what do we always talk about, John? Playing your best baseball at the right time in May and June, late May and all of June. And they just didn't play their best baseball the other night.
No, they didn't. They didn't. And I just, in fact, let me give me a second, Tom. I'm looking this up real quick. The NCAA rule says if you don't score, you can't win.
Right.
So, I mean, let's just be honest about it. You're not going to win many games in the games you don't score. So, but Florida State, they did a good job against Arkansas. They played a good game against Arkansas. They deserve to win the game, not trying to take anything away from them. But I don't feel like that was Arkansas's best effort. And we know that Arkansas has been able to bounce back. I mean, think about it in the Super Regional. When they got the doors beat off of them against Ole Miss in Game 2, going into game three, you're like, oh, jeez. And then the way it started with Patrick Wicklander, and he started just, I think his first three pitches were in the dirt. And you're like, oh, man, is this really how it's going to be? Is this how it's going to end? But then a spark happened, and then he had Cody Scroggins come in, and then the rest of it was history. That's kind of what it has a feel to, at least you're hoping for. So today is where, hey, you lost in a disappointing way. It's frustrating. You don't want to go 0-2 in this. So you're going to come out. You're going to bounce back. You're going to find some sort of spark in this game. Now, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Connor Nolan? Is it going to be someone like Costi Schock? Is it going to be Copps? Is it going to, you know, who knows? Is it going to be a hitter? Maybe somebody like Trevor Ezell goes and starts batting it up. Who knows? But they just got to find somebody to provide a spark and get this team back on the right track.
Now, you're at Leavenworth?
Correct.
Or
we
like to just say Leavenworth. Because John's broadcasting live from Leavenworth. But it's 11, the number 11 Worth Cafe, and you're 2 miles from TD Ameritrade. So fans listening in Omaha need to come by. And you got some giveaways this morning as well.
That's right. I got some $25 gift cards to give away. I saw a Florida State fan walk in. I don't think I'm going to give him any. I don't even know who that guy is. He can keep on walking. No, I'm just messing. But I'll tell you what, they have a great deal going on here because it's not just breakfast, but they have lunch specials here. So if you want to come over before the game today and get you either breakfast or lunch, make it a brunch if you will. They have some great, and here, check out this for the lunch special, hot roast beef served with mashed potatoes and gravy, including super salad. And you can also get a chicken wrap with french fries as well. Soup of the day being vegetable beef barley. So it's got a great setup here. They've been very kind. Really appreciate them having us out here too. And they have some great breakfast items as well. I'm going to try to hopefully get me some as soon as the show ends because I don't know. I may not be able to. Officer Breeden's not coming in over here.
I know he was planning on going to Omaha. That'd be great if he showed up.
He just comes rolling in
right
with a to-go thing here from Leavenworth and hands it to me. That would be great. But yeah, they got great food. So if you're listening on hitthatline.com while you're up here in Omaha, Hog fans, come on by. I got a gift for you. Come on by and see us at Leavenworth right here at 2419 Leavenworth Street. Also, to remind everybody that today for the Razorback baseball game starts at 1 p.m., Tommy and Ty are going to be over at Joe's Grill and Cantina in Fort Smith for the watch party.
Yeah, half-price apps and taps. That's the tradition when the Hogs are on TV. So Ty and I will be over there and invite you to come out. Have a little bit later lunch today. Catch the game with us. Half-price apps and taps all game long today at Joe's Grill and Cantina. 74th Street in Fort Smith, right across from Harps.
You got a lot to live up to, Tommy, because me and Ty, we were rolling with those people.
I heard it was packed, standing room only.
It was packed. We got a bunch of pictures taken with us. I mean, it was the way to go.
Y'all are stars. Y'all are definitely stars.
Yeah, hopefully people will show up.
That shirt Ty's got on today, no one's going to want a picture with him with that thing on.
So. What shirt does he have on?
Well, I have to put this out there.
It's my late grandpa shirt.
Grandpa shirt. Okay. Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
The Leavenworth Cafe here in Omaha, Nebraska. You can come see us at 2419 Leavenworth Street, just a few miles away from TD Ameritrade. They got a great breakfast, some of the best gravy you'll ever eat. That's what everyone's been coming here telling me about. Mm-hmm. They say they are known for their gravy. Tommy, we're big fans of gravy.
Have you tried any yet?
I plan on doing it very shortly. I've seen some of the items, and it looks amazing. So I'm going to definitely have to dive into that. But we're going to be broadcasting live here throughout the week as long as Arkansas is in the College World Series. So come on by and see us. And if you're a Razorback fan, got your Razorback gear, I got a little gift for you if you come on by. So be sure to come hang out with us from 6 to 9 here at Leavenworth Cafe in Omaha, Nebraska. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Talk a little bit about the Arkansas Razorback baseball team in the College World Series. Tom, appreciate you joining us this morning. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. If I was in Omaha, I'd be sitting there with you, John. I think I would like that.
Oh, yeah. It seems like it's your type of place. There's no doubt. It's my type of place, too. So
Tom Murphy likes his gravy. That's what he's saying. It's Tom Murphy knows a good plate of biscuits and gravy.
That's right. We're all about biscuits and gravy. That's probably what I'm going to end up getting, too. That's for sure.
Name of this show, Biscuits and Gravy.
Probably be more fitting. But Tom, let's just go ahead and dive right into it. Arkansas, I can't imagine a more frustrating way to lose the game, a game in against anybody, especially in the College World Series against Florida State, the way they lost it. Lose 1-0, can't even muster up a run. Isaiah Campbell was fantastic, but Parrish was also great for Florida State. I mean, that's a frustrating way to start the College World Series if you're a Razorback fan or a Razorback player.
Big time. And you're talking about 22 consecutive scoreless innings they've had there. And, you know, it came down to they had Christian Franklin on third base twice with one out, and they don't get him in. They hit into a double play on, you know, Florida's in the middle infielders coming up, jumping up at the pitch, and it led to the, you know, line out, double play at third, and then, you know, they get a couple of strikeouts. I'd like to have seen a bunt maybe from somebody along the way, either from Goodhart or Casey Martin or somewhere. But, you know, it's super frustrating. Who would have ever imagined that the Isaiah Campbell start would be one that he shuts a team out for seven innings and you don't win the game and you're in the loser's bracket? So the thing that we've been talking about on this show, do they have enough at the second and third starting pitcher position to you know, win a tournament is going to come into play now, because you can't go three or four innings with Connor Nolan now. I mean, just it would be too risky. So he's got to show up today. And I'll tell you what, a great question. Is Bryce Bowman going to start for Texas Tech? What's your feel?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I feel like it's almost like a destiny type thing. It's a storyline and a great setup. And I know that he's always wanted to be a starter. So what better opportunity for him than to start in the College World Series against his former team?
Yeah, and he got off to a crummy start. He got blown up by Oregon in his first game. But he's pitched a lot better down the stretch. He pitched well in the Big 12 tournament, and he's done well in his two starts in the postseason. So I do think, though, I really do think if he starts against the Razorback, I think they have a stronger edge, because the veteran hitters will have seen him, you know, a lot more. And it's true, he's seen those hitters. But I just think it adds up better for the Razorbacks if they start Bone. It's a tough decision for Tim Tadlock, because, you know, your season's riding on it. He's got a really good record. And what is he, 8-1? And the knowledge that both sides possess about the other adds such an intriguing element to it. But I don't know. If he goes with him, I think the Razorbacks have the edge on that.
Arkansas is now required to win four straight in order to get to the championship round of this tournament. What's your confidence level? Is Arkansas built to do this with young freshman pitching? Can this happen, Tom?
Well, obviously it can happen. I mean, to me, they have every bit the depth of pitching that Oregon State did last year when they accomplished this very thing. It's just that I think it's key that they get a bunch of innings out of Connor Nolan today, and if they win this, then that they get a bunch of good innings out of Patrick Wicklander, because the Kevin Copses and the Jacob Kostyuk are going to be needed in crunch time, and Matt Cronin in games to try to get out of the bracket. So, having a day between games now, you would think that a Cody Scroggins could pitch again today or in the next game. And you'd think Matt Cronin could pitch today if you needed him. But you don't want to just keep going to those guys over and over. And by the way, I don't know where Jacob Nesbitt was on the bunt when it was first and second, no outs in the ninth. But Cronin didn't look at third very much. And it feels to me like if Nesbitt had been near the base, I think they had a play there. You guys see that?
Yeah.
I mean, Arkansas just in that ninth inning, when you start off, it just seems like when you start off hitting a batter, and then you had the error at second. It was just one of them things you could just feel it coming unraveled. And, I don't know, just that whole inning had a cloud over. Like, it's just not your day.
I agree with you, Tommy. And I think in the bottom of the eighth, I was thinking, okay, if they can't get this run in, I think Florida State's going to score in the next half inning. It just had that feel like nothing was going right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a double play ball that Martin had in his glove.
Right.
Double play ball, if he holds it in his glove and makes a nice transfer, then they've gotten bases clean and two out. So
if Scroggins had clipped that ball coming back through the pitcher's mound, I think maybe it's fielded cleanly and you've got less of an issue there. I don't know. It just seems like any time the pitcher inadvertently puts a glove or a hand on a ball batted back through the bite, that there's always a problem fielding that thing.
Yeah. I think it adjusted where Casey Martin's eyes were, and the glove was a lot lower. If he catches that ball higher, I think he could tag Flowers on his shoulder, you know, the side or something like that, tag him on his helmet, and the ball stays in his glove better. But, you know, what's passed is passed, and the frustration of not being able to get Franklin home from third base twice with one out. They've got to come out and hit the ball today. I mean, there's no, I think we said this even on the last show, the last time we talked on Thursday. They've got to be able to out hit some people, and they have the lineup to do it, whether they show up or not.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. Tom, looking at today, Connor Nolan's getting the nod. Last time we saw Connor Nolan was against Ole Miss in Game 2, struggled mightily. What does Arkansas need from him today? I don't think they need 7-8 innings out of him, but what can they expect and what do they make, need to make sure that he can bring to them in order for them to get a victory today?
Well, eat up some innings to start with, but, you know, just trust your stuff because with the wind blowing out against Ole Miss, he was trying to get his fastball low, and he couldn't control it, and they ended up sitting on his off-speed stuff. So you know the Texas Tech is going to try to be sitting on his off-speed stuff as well. He's got to be able to throw that fastball when he wants to, and I think in Omaha, you can trust it more. I mean, that if you miss by an inch on a fastball, they might hammer it, but it might wind up being a loud out to center field, or they pull it and it's a loud out to left field. So I would say trust your defense, trust your stuff, and just attack the zone. Try to make them put the ball in play. And if you can do that, if you can get early contact, maybe you can last into the sixth inning today.
Yeah.
Connor Nolan is used to the big stage, and this could get him a spot in Arkansas history if he can keep them alive in the loser's bracket today.
And I think that it's also interesting, who do you go to, whether it's an early hook or whether it's sixth, seventh inning down the stretch, where Arkansas goes to in the pen. You mentioned, you know, Scroggins, he had 18 pitches against five batters, a day of rest. Is it Costi Shock? Where Copps, you know, Kevin Copps, where does Arkansas go once they relieve the starting pitching today and Connor Nolan at what point in the game? Because to me, that's just as interesting as who gets the start today and Connor Nolan.
Yeah, it clearly depends on the circumstances, if you ask me. I mean, Cole Ramage could be a long guy. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's Arkansas's up 6-2 or something in the fifth inning, and you feel like Nolan's done all he can do. Maybe you go Cole Ramage for a couple innings. He hasn't pitched well recently, but, hey, man, at the World Series last year, he had a great appearance against Oregon State. So he's done it before, and he's more of a long guy. And it all depends on the circumstance. If it's a tight game, then maybe you go with Copps, or it seems to me like they like to go with Copps before Costi Shock.
Yeah,
so that's what I would do.
You got to survive this one for it to matter, but if you've got a sizable lead like Arkansas did against Ole Miss or some situation like that, you start thinking about preserving starting pitching because you're going to have to call on these guys again if you can extend your stay and continue to extend your stay in Omaha. So you got all these things that I'm sure are turning through the wheels there in the mind of Dave Van Horn and how to manage all these things, but the only thing you got to worry about is surviving today or it's all over.
Absolutely, that's right. Hugely changes things. You know, there's other guys available. Zebulon Vermillion and Elijah Tress. I mean, it's a relatively deep pen, and it could be, if they stay alive, those guys could end up pitching some critical innings for you. So getting them some work could come back and pay off for you down the way. But it's all going to matter on, you know, what the situation of the game is and who's ready to go.
All right, Tom, before we let you get out of here, do you think Arkansas wins it today? Do you think they extend their stay here in Omaha after they play Texas Tech today at 1?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and predict an Arkansas victory. It was at 7-4 last year. It hurts Texas Tech, in my view. They don't have Gabe Holt, who fractured a bone in his hand in the Super Regionals last week. I'll go with an Arkansas victory somewhere along the lines of 6-3, something like that.
Well, the ending of victory would go a long way and be setting up nicely. You don't want to ever go 0-2 in barbecue, so Arkansas getting the victory today would be a nice little confidence boost for a lot of Razorback fans. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Tom. Enjoy the rest of the week. Hopefully we catch up with you on Thursday talking about some Arkansas victories.
Oh, sounds good. Enjoy it, guys.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.